are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Well, good morning. My name is Drew Flam, and excited to continue our series this morning, Encountering Jesus, as we walk through the book of Matthew together. The hope of this series is not that we just observe Jesus, but that we begin to orient our lives totally around everything he's about. That it doesn't just become facts on pages in our Bibles, but that it becomes reality in our hearts. So I want to start this morning with a little activity that will get you oriented with the main gist of the passage. So I want you to repeat after me, okay? Ready? Pathy, rocky, weedy, and good. All right, now you have to add in the hand signals, all right? So see if you can follow along, all right? Ready? Pathy, rocky, weedy, and good. So now you get a sense of where we're going. This is not the names of like new dwarfs in some Snow White sequel. This is actually from the Bible, Matthew chapter 13. And we've been walking through the life of Jesus. We have seen his genealogy. We have seen his birth. We have seen his teachings. We have seen his miracles. And now we get to look at Jesus from a new angle and see him as the master storyteller. I don't know about you, but I love a good story. I remember growing up, my favorite day of the week was the week that my mom would take me downtown to the most magical building in all of our city. It was the public library. I loved everything about the public library, the smell of the old pages, the beep, beep as you checked out your books at the end. And of course, story time, where an older lady with big glasses and an exuberant smile would read you some of your favorite stories. And why did I love that so much? It wasn't just that I got a personal pan pizza from Pizza Hut after going after a few times. It was also because I loved stories. We love stories. It's part of the human existence that we are able to understand truth through story. So it should be no surprise to us that the man at the center of the greatest story ever told, Jesus himself, knew the power of a good story, and that he used the power of stories to teach truth and to wrap everyday moments in vivid picture, so that these realities on a page would become something so much more to us. So if you have a copy of God's word, you can turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We also have the verses up on the screen. And if you don't have a copy of God's word, we would love to give you one. So if you find somebody with a name tag out in the lobby area and just say, hey, I need a Bible, it would be a great joy to give you your own copy of God's word. These stories that Jesus told were called parables, and the hope is this morning as we review them, our eyes are opened and our hearts are stirred. And so I'd invite you to take a look at the first three verses together. Follow along as I read. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. The whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables. So kind of just get the picture in your mind. Jesus is on a boat. He's in the Sea of Galilee. The crowd is standing on the beach, but also all around them would be crops, fields, because you would put fields next to the water to ensure that the crops could grow. And so you can kind of get a mental picture of the landscape in which Jesus is teaching. And this is the first time in all of Scripture that the word parable appears. And this is the masterful storytelling skill Jesus employs. But it would have been something very familiar to that culture as a way to pass along truth, as a way to pass along tradition in an oral tradition. And so parable would have been something they understood. It would have been relatable. It would have had cultural references. And the context would help everyone understand the punchline of what the teacher was trying to get to. You could think of a parable in our day as like a good dad joke. A good dad joke, which I've got lots of them. In fact, let me share one with you. Here's a good dad joke for you. How do we know that the toothbrush was invented in Kentucky? Anywhere else, it would have been the teeth brush. Good dad joke. And here's why, in my opinion, it's a good dad joke. It takes you a little bit of time to figure out cultural reference and nuance to figure out why is that punchline funny. But if you understand the context, if you understand the nuance, it can be something that is humorous. Well, similar to a parable, understanding the context, understanding the nuance would have helped all of Jesus' hearers understand what the parable was really about. And so now we get to the parable itself, and I'm going to read verses 3-9. It says this, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprung up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus, speaking in common language to them, begins to explain something more spiritual and more profound than they could ever imagine. So let's just go through the story a bit by bit. Verse 3 says, a sower went out to sow. This is pretty simple. A sower went out to sow. In those days, there were no big combines that drove themselves. A person actually had to sow the seed. And so the fields would have been plowed, and the sower would have had like a leather pouch right here next to their side, and they would have measured out their steps and walked up and down the row and cast the seed carefully up and back, up and back, up and back. The sower went out to seed. The crowd would have understood the setup. They might have even been able to turn around and watch someone sowing seeds in the fields behind them. And in Jesus' story, this seed could fall in four different places. The first place it could fall was the pathy soil. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path. Some translations, yours might also say road, which would make a lot of sense. In our day and age, we have roads that go around all of the fields, but in their day and age, the paths would have gone right through the fields. And so as they walked and as their donkeys walked, these about sidewalk width paths would develop, and they would be hard. The dry, arid climate there would ensure that those paths become almost impenetrable. And so when the farmer is sowing his seed, the seed that falls along the path has no chance, packed down by countless feet and hooves. And it just sat there completely exposed until some hungry little bird came along. And that seed, which had potential to grow into a crop, is gone. Now some bird's happy meal for the day. The second type of soil is the rocky soil. The rocky soil. Now, when I said rocky, some of you probably actually thought about like Rocky running up the steps. That's the first thing I did when I was reading the passage. But this is actually rocky soil. This is seed that sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, the sun scorched the crop and it withered away. This wasn't because the farmer was lazy, that he didn't plow his fields, that he didn't get the rocks out of his fields. He would have done that. In this climate, in this space, there would have been a layer of limestone right below where the dirt and the plow would have been able to get. And this limestone would have been very hard. it would have made it difficult for a seed to develop good roots. And so when a seed would penetrate the ground, it wouldn't get moisturized and its energy would explode into a crop. Instead of it sending roots down, it would send its energy up and it would pop out of the ground quicker than any of the other seed. And so the farmer might have even thought, this is amazing. I'm going to have my best crop ever. Only to have the sun scorch that small plant because it has no root system. It desperately needed that root system in order to survive the heat. And soon the crop was burnt toast. And then we get to the third type of soil, the weedy soil. This might be the most relatable example, at least it is for me. I spent time in my garden yesterday starting to get the weeds out and quickly learned I have no green thumb whatsoever because every year those weeds come back bigger and stronger. And like magic, they're twice as big as they were the year before. And this is the kind of soil that Jesus is describing. That you look at first glance and it's right after you've done all that weed picking for the first time and you look across your garden and it looks fantastic. Until 2 weeks later, those weeds are twice as big as they were before. And this little seed falls amongst those weeds. And the moisture is all soaked up by the weeds that lie underneath. And if by chance the seed is able to grow just a little bit out of the ground, the big weeds and their leaves cover it so that the sun is blocked from those seeds and they are unable to grow into their potential. Now, up until now, as Jesus is telling this story, he sounds like a farmer you might meet at the local diner, right? Like everything is wrong. The crops are bad. The weather's bad. The prices are bad. The equipment's bad. Fortunately, he throws in the fourth type of soil here, the good soil. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, Jesus doesn't take time to explain or describe the good soil. We know what good soil looks like. It's dark, it's rich, it's soft, it's clean. But what he does describe is what the soil can produce. The soil can produce a harvest 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold what was sown. In modern times, we think about return on investment, right? What do you put in versus what do you get out? You put in one seed, and in good soil, you can get 100-fold or 60-fold or 30-fold. In those days, 10-fold would have been considered excellent. So when Jesus talks about a crop yielding 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, this would have been a shock. This would have been impressive, unbelievable, unimaginable to the hearers. And that's exactly Jesus' point. That when seed falls into good soil, the results can be beyond anything we can imagine or do on our own. Pathy, rocky, weedy, and good. And up until this point, the crowd's probably thinking like, good story, Jesus. Man, you are really a master storyteller as well. We so appreciate your ability to craft a good story. But he throws in this last sentence in this section, verse 9, and he says this, "He who has ears, let him hear." And I can just imagine the crowd's kind of like, pretty sure we all got ears, Jesus. Pretty sure we can all hear what you're talking about. So what in the world do you mean? And apparently the disciples were wondering the exact same thing because we see here in verse 10, they just go to Jesus and straight up ask, why do you speak to them in parables? And over the next few verses, Jesus gives us three reasons why he uses parables as a way to teach. The first one is this, that parables are used to reveal truth to his disciples. They weren't just stories to entertain the crowd, but they were actually specifically stated so that Jesus could teach his disciples a deeper truth about the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11 says this, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." In other words, parables were written and taught in order to teach those who were ready to listen. The disciples like us, however, needed sometimes things to be taught in a way we could actually understand God's plan. And the Messiah would do that. The second reason that parables were used was to fulfill prophecy. Actually, throughout the book of Matthew, it's one of the things I'm hoping that we're noticing along the way, that Jesus often is expressing how he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. That what was predicted about a Messiah long ago, he is the one who is fulfilling all those promises. And in verses 12 through 14, Jesus actually quotes from Isaiah and shows that in Isaiah, it was predicted that a Messiah would teach through parables. And here Jesus is fulfilling that prophecy of old, confirming who he was. The third reason that parables were used was to reveal spiritual condition. Teach truth, fulfill prophecy, and to reveal spiritual condition. Parables had a way of separating those who truly sought God from those who were just wanting to have their ears tickled to see a miracle and to get a little bread and fish. This is like, I don't know if you've ever taught like a little kid's Sunday school class, but there is one word that is the answer to every question in kids' little Sunday school. What is that word? Jesus, that's right, right? Like, what's the Bible about? Jesus. Who died for you? Jesus. What did you have for breakfast? Jesus. Like, they just know, like, whatever the question is, Jesus might be the answer. But does a little kid really know the depths of truth of Scripture about the kingdom of God? It takes mature ears to understand. And here Jesus is using a parable to help separate those who have truly a heart to want to know and understand the truth he's trying to teach from those who are just following along with the crowd. So what does this mean for us? It means the same thing. That when we hear a parable like this, we have to assess our own hearts, and are we just here because that's what everybody else is doing, or our parents told us we had to, or are we here to hear his word and to truly understand? And so now we get to the heart of the text, the heart of the passage where Jesus teaches his disciples what this parable actually meant. And so we're going to look at verses 18 through 23. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the world, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So here again, our four soil types are brought up and explain to us in more depth. The first one, the pathy soil. The pathy soil is the hard-hearted. This is the heart that has been hardened by sin. Maybe someone's own sin or the sin that has been done to them, but the soil is compacted and the gospel cannot penetrate. The seed is good, the sower has been faithful, but the heart is untouched. It is uninterested. It is unmoved. And the enemy doesn't really have to try very hard with this soil type. He just swoops in and snatches the truth away before it ever has a chance of penetrating. Could that be you today? Maybe you're here, but you're guarded. You've heard the gospel, maybe more than once, it just hasn't landed. You glance at scripture, you've sat through sermons, but you've never taken enough time to actually let the truth settle in. The idea that God loves you, the idea that he wants to forgive you for all of your sins has never really had space to take root in your heart. And if that's where you are today, can I lovingly challenge you? Don't settle for a hardened heart. Ask God to break through. Ask him to soften the places that have been trampled down by life. The rocky soil. The rocky soil is the shallow-hearted. This is the person who receives the word with joy, and it's real joy. They are fired up, hands raised in worship, hearts full, ready to jump into that baptismal with exuberance. But then life hits. Trouble shows up. Things get hard. Plans fail. People fail. And just like that, their faith fades. All because the root system never got deep. Their faith was all about the feelings and no foundation. It was all about the pep, but none of the depth. And let me be clear, emotion is a vital part of faith. It is a good thing to worship with emotion. It is a good thing to encounter Jesus with our emotions. We should rejoice. It's Easter week. Next weekend should be one of the most happy, joyful weekends we have as we think about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. But emotion alone will not carry you. Christianity is not just about a moment of joy. It's about a life of perseverance. It's about counting the cost. It's about dying to yourself. It's about staying faithful even when things get hard. Faith isn't just how high you can raise your hands in worship. It's about how steady you walk through the hardest trials of life. The weedy soil. The weedy soil is the earthly hearted. Almost the opposite of the rocky soil, this is the slow fade. This is the person who looks solid from the outside. They've been around church for years. They've served. They've given. They've led ministries, but little by little by little, other things crept in. Busyness, travel sports, career aspirations, the lake house, the never-ending pull for more. And then somewhere along the line, Jesus just stopped being a priority. There was no like walk away dramatic moment or announcement. They just slowly drifted away quietly until the weeds had choked out their once living faith. Maybe you know someone like that. Maybe deep down that's been you. If I had to pick my own soil type, this would be the one I would have to choose for myself. And Jesus isn't saying that you can't have a great career, that you can't love going with your family on the weekends to the cabin, or that you can't cheer for your favorite team. But the question is your love for those things growing faster than your love for him? And if it is, something's off. So be honest with yourself. What might be choking your fruitfulness? And lastly, the good soil, the heavenly hearted. This is the good stuff. The heart that receives the word, understands it, and bears fruit. The believer who loves deeply, that gives generously, that serves faithfully, who knows they've earned none of it, but are so thankful that they have it. And you can see this soil in action. It's all around you even today. It's that person always pouring out grace, asking to pray for you, encouraging you, who just oozes the love of Christ, who responds to challenges in the most empathetic way possible. And so I want to give you an assignment this morning. Before you leave this morning, or maybe right after church when you get home, find someone you see as good soil and let them know. Walk up to them and say, hey, you are some good soil. Maybe it's the nursery worker who just took care of your kids. Maybe it's someone out in the lobby from your missional community when you run into them. Maybe you just randomly text someone and see how they respond. You are good soil. But encourage someone where you see that they are good soil, where the gospel has been implanted and fruitfulness is bearing everywhere. And may we also, with humility, ourselves assess the fruitfulness of our own lives. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Take a fruit assessment. Look at each one of those and assess yourself. How much love is there in my life for others? How much joy in my life is there? Am I experiencing an overwhelming peace of God? Am I patient through trials? Does kindness pour out of me to everyone around me? Would goodness be a reflection of how I live my life in the secret places? Is faithfulness something that represents each and every day? Am I gentle and kind even when those kids are so annoying? And what about self-control? Am I able to control myself from the urges or addictions that are all around me? Those are all fruits that represent good soil. So take an assessment. I want to leave you with two questions this morning for you to consider. The first one is this, is how much seed are you sowing? How much seed are you sowing? We have looked at this passage and primarily focused on the soil, but let's not forget the farmer who spread the seed. And that is a command of Jesus that we go into all the world and share the good news of the gospel. But I'm afraid too often we spend a lot more time cultivating the soil and we spend very little time spreading the seed. We talk, our mission here is to share and show the love of Jesus. We do a great job of showing the love of Jesus as a church. In fact, if I look at my own heart, that is probably where I like to spend time, cultivating the soil, getting it ready for the gospel, working the soil, pulling the weeds, getting the rocks out. But none of it matters if the seed never gets spread. And I know for me, so often that pouch is just sitting here with the seed inside of it and it just stays there. I'm not a soil inspector. I don't need to decide what soil is hard or weedy or rocky. All Jesus asked me to do is spread it to anyone and to everyone, to share the love of Jesus, to actually use my words to express what the gospel has done in my own heart and life. And if I believe, as we sang, that there's no one left in that grave, then that's pretty powerful seed that I should be ready and willing to share to anyone and everyone. So my question for you is, how much seed are you sowing? And then the second question is, what is the state of your heart? What is the state of your heart? If Jesus were here right now in this room, what would he say about your heart? In fact, he says that he doesn't look on the outward appearances. It doesn't matter how well-dressed you are today or how much you look the part, but he looks inwardly at the heart. So what would he say about your heart? Pathy? Hardened, maybe by pain or pride? Rocky? Quick to start, slow to stick? Weedy? Slowly suffocating under the distractions and the grind of life? Or good, responsive, soft, faithful, fruitful heart? And the beauty of the gospel is this: no soil is too far gone. The hard hearts can be softened. The shallow hearts can be deepened. The weedy hearts can be cleared. And all it takes on our part is a measure of humility. Psalms 139 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Are you willing to do that? Jesus, know me. Try me. And then Jesus, fix me. And when you do, watch out. The harvest is coming. 30, 60, even 100-fold, more than you could ever imagine or anyone around you could ever imagine. The question is, what's the state of your heart? The question is, how much seed are you sowing? Let's sow generously and let's receive humbly the grace of God. I'm going to pray, and then Pastor Michael's going to come up and lead us in communion. And this is a beautiful passage to connect to a communion Sunday. Because as we take communion, the call is to take one quick look at our hearts, to assess the state of our hearts, but then to turn and take 1,000 looks at Christ, to spend most of our time thinking about him and what he has done, the sacrifice he made on the cross for our sins, the grave he walked out of to defeat sin and death, not to focus on ourselves and the state of our heart, but to focus on him and what he has accomplished. That's the beauty of communion that we get to celebrate together this morning. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of story. We thank you for a good movie, a good book. All good stories are a reflection of the bigger story, the better story. The story where Jesus is the central figure of all of human existence, all of creation. He answers all the questions. He provided the ultimate answer in his own sacrifice on the cross. So God, we come and ask for good soil. Come take out the weeds and the rocks. Soften us. May we humbly receive your gospel once again, and may it burst forth into fruit in the ways that we worship you and treat others that is unimaginable, beyond anything that we could ever do on our own. And then may we also be sowers of your word. God, give us the bravery and the spirit-filled strength to be able to share whenever the opportunity provides what you have done for us. We love you, Lord, because of Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.